The Play Action Podcast is fueled by Picasso's Pizza, where every night is pizza night.
Welcome into the Play Action Podcast. Lance Lysowski joins me. I'm Catherine Fitzgerald. Lance, we've got the Cleveland Browns on tap this week for the Buffalo Bills. You know, a game.
Yeah.
But let's talk the Bills' offense for a little bit first, just kind of what's going on there as they gear up to head to Cleveland.
Yeah, I think the one, of course, Josh Allen was unbelievable in that game against New England. Once again, I thought the more notable or significant big picture storyline is probably the Bills' ability to run the ball against New England. I know the Patriots have a couple of key injuries and they've been allowing more rushing yards recently. They haven't been as good, but still with just how effective the offensive line was, how good James Cook was. That was in my mind, Catherine, I don't want to overstate it, but it was probably a bounce back game for him in some ways because of the fumbles.
I think so. Yeah.
He held onto the ball and he had a couple of really nice runs inside the red zone that he hadn't been finishing those plays the last however many weeks. And that's one of the strategies you know they're going to deploy on Sunday in Cleveland.
Finished with 107 yards on 22 carries. I didn't feel like that big of a game for him, if that makes sense, which I think is more to say that this now feels common for him. He's had, I forget off the top of my head, 7, 8, 100 plus yards this game.
Yeah, I think it's eight.
But I think just, you know, he's making it look just natural.
Yeah, no, and it was just kind of grinding away. There weren't any of those, you know, 40 or 50 yard runs. It was picking up 5 to 6 yards at a time. Like the 11 yard touchdown run was really impressive, great blocking from the Bills, but it was the shorter one. I think it was 3 or 4 yards, like closer to the goal line, where he absorbs contact and he's able to reach over and not fumble the way that he did previously. So, and the Bills have Myles Garrett on the other side. Like, Cleveland's defense started the season extremely well, but injuries have set in. Their offense is a disaster, so they're in pretty tough situations more often than not. But they still have to worry about Myles Garrett, and running the ball is one way to kind of counteract what, you know, the guy's going for the single-season sack record. It's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, I was at a Deion Dawkins event the other night, and a small child just asked him, who's the hardest person to block in the NFL? And he went, Myles Garrett. And I, obviously, this game is coming up. I don't know if that was front of mind for him, but I, you know, think that's very telling. He's a hard guy to block.
Yeah, it's incredible how teams try to double team him. They try almost everything to try to stop Myles Garrett, and it's sad that he's just this. He's one of the best players in the NFL, and he's on one of the worst teams in the NFL. And it's not looking all that bright in Cleveland nowadays, even with Shedeur Sanders showing some flashes. But for the offense, yeah, it's going to be a lot of running the ball, and we'll see if the tight ends continue to be as involved as they have been. This has been a couple of two big games in a row for Dawson Knox.
I thought it was interesting when we talked to Joe Brady on Monday. He was talking about how you don't just like call 12 personnel and it happens. Like, there's so much that goes into it of, you know, the work behind the scenes, the practice to do it. But the Bills have made their usage of tight ends so notable that it's obviously working for them.
Yeah, and they've had to become less predictable. Like the Patriots, anytime they saw Jaxon Hawes on the field, they put a third linebacker out there.
Yeah.
But if it was Dalton Kincaid, they had a nickel corner out there, and Jaxon Hawes can catch the football. So it really does add another level of deception. And we'll see how this game is going to be played. Is it going to be a tight end game? It just, that's what's so interesting about this offense. I'm sure it's maddening for fans sometimes, but and Dawson Knox has touched on it. So many of the guys have, where you just don't know what the game plan is going to call for each week in terms of how they're going to try to beat their opponent. I do want to see how much more is Dalton Kincaid involved. You know, Joe Brady sort of downplayed the snap count, but this has been an ongoing trend the last however many weeks when Dalton Kincaid has played, where he's not playing as much as Dawson Knox and Jaxon Hawes. Some of that is, you know, they just really want to run the ball, and those other two guys are exceptional blockers. But you have to think that they're also trying to make sure Dalton Kincaid's healthy for when the games matter most.
I would say so, especially just, you know, that knee injury re-flaring this year. They want to make sure that they have him for the long run.
Catherine, it was interesting to hear, you know, post-game in Foxborough, Sean McDermott downplayed some of the defensive struggles in that game. You wanted people to, you know, really focus in on the positive aspect of it. The players were pretty similar. They downplayed how bad the first half was in terms of the rushing yards allowed, but Bobby Babich took a – he had a different tone on Monday when he was asked about it.
He was pretty open about things. He called allowing 31 points disgusting and unacceptable. You know, he put some of that on himself, of course. He also just was saying – you know, when we asked about the halftime adjustments, he kind of laughed because he's, and I think it's maddening to him at this point where he's just kind of like, I don't know what else we can do because there are, you know, he gave credit to New England, the tweaks they made during the bye week and showing some things they hadn't before. But this Bills defense especially has looked so different from first half to second half. And it, you know, I know it's a coach's press conference. They're not going to reveal state secrets, but I think he's fairly sincere when he's saying they're not changing that much. They're just executing so much better in the second half. And how do they do that in the first half now?
Yeah, no, it's exactly it. And they had a really good second. Like, it's one long run. But I think the way that long run developed is what angered Bobby Babich so much, because they had him. They had Travion Henderson for a loss. Maxwell Harrison's one of the players who lost contain on the weak side. And, yeah, Henderson goes around him. It's just... it's the whole fundamental piece of it. Like, this isn't scheme. It's guys just not executing, and you know, they're doing it during the week in practice. And I think that's why. And they understand, you know, yes, Josh Allen and the offense have been able to outscore the last two opponents when the Bills have allowed all these points, but you can't count on that happening when, especially when you get in the playoffs, some of these teams you're going to be facing, like if you face Houston in the playoffs, their defense, good luck scoring 35 to 40 points on them.
No, I think what was the stat that they're 4-0 when the opposing team has scored more than 30, which is just absurd. It's like, you know, great that you're getting those wins, but that's not really a stat you want.
No, it's not. And I think it is significant to win that football game when you didn't have Christian Benford.
Yes, I would agree.
Especially, they didn't almost lose that game because of what they allowed in the passing game. It's what they allowed in the run. And I mean, Benford's a big piece of that, but it'll be interesting to see his status for this game. And if you're not able to stop the run, you're not able to rush the passer. And that is such a big piece of what this team wants to do. Sean McDermott said it over and over again. You have to be able to rush four against quarterbacks in this league. You can't rely on blitzing. He's had to blitz more than he'd like to in the second half of these games, and it's been effective, but it's not a place he wants to live in. The matchup this week is going to be like Shedeur Sanders last week in Chicago. He burned the Bears, I think, anytime they blitz, but when they rushed four, they dropped more guys in coverage. He thought too much, and then he made mistakes, and you're probably going to see a lot of that on Sunday in Cleveland.
Yeah, I think just kind of the way the Bills have been able to navigate all their injuries on defense, too. We mentioned Christian Benford, but I think just kind of, you know, what they've done on the D-line at linebacker of just weaving in different guys and being able to still be effective. It makes me curious for when those guys are back and healthy.
Yeah, no, I think that Sean McDermott and Bobby Babich deserve credit for each week they've sort of reshaped their defense, not only based on the opponent, but based on who they have available.
Right.
You know, the win over Cincinnati was one example where you didn't have Joey Bosa, so they had to get more creative with how they were blitzing him. You know, that's just one example of many, but they had another injury on defense in that game against New England. Jordan Phillips is not going to play on Sunday. I know he doesn't play a lot of snaps, Catherine, but another defensive tackle down. They had already moved TJ Sanders to edge rusher because they were thin there. So, I mean, maybe we see Fedarian Mathis, but it is it's a really tough spot to be in, because I know that, you know, Jordan Phillips doesn't play a lot of snaps, but the leadership component, the reliability, he plays a lot of short yardage situations, and it is, you know, it might not affect them as much this week, but, you know, they need him to get healthy. They need other guys to get healthy too, just so they have depth. You know, TJ Sanders, I think, is one of the more underrated players to watch in the coming weeks, because, you know, talking to Jordan Phillips last week, he loves what TJ Sanders has done in practices and wants to see that sort of start to translate as he's earning more playing time.
So the Bills have the Cleveland Browns on Sunday, the 3-11 Cleveland Browns.
Tough.
The Bills, they want to win this game in a vacuum, just to win this game, but also it's time that we can start talking playoff scenarios.
Yeah, they can clinch. And there are a few, Catherine, I'll lean on you to tell our viewers and listeners what they are. But more likely, as long as they take care of business in Cleveland, at least one of these scenarios is pretty likely based on the quarterback who's playing for the team involved. Sorry, Philip Rivers, you're 44 years old, and as much as he wasn't the problem last week in the Colts loss, yeah, I don't see that going very well against the 49ers.
What a storyline.
Yeah, it is.
You know,
it's a Disney movie.
Yeah, there are four scenarios in which the Bills can clinch their playoff berth, two with a win and two with a tie. So we'll get into those. They can... If the Bills win and Indianapolis Colts lose or tie, Bills are in. If the Bills win and Houston loses or ties, Bills are in.
Houston plays the Raiders, which is a less likely
yes.
Raiders stink.
Yeah. The Buffalo Bills can tie and then have either an Indianapolis loss or a Houston loss, and they are in too.
You don't want to tie the Cleveland Browns.
You don't want to tie the Cleveland Browns.
Let's get that out of the way. Yeah. They want to win this game, and they need to get out of it healthy. They can't afford any more injuries in a game like this, so that's something to watch. But, Catherine, they have certainly strengthened their position during this three-game win streak, where not only are you putting yourself in a position to clinch now, but you look across the AFC, we've talked about almost every week, it's most of these teams yet the Bills have to like the way that they would match up against them, because in some ways this team has improved as the season has gone along. And I think what we saw in New England that will really carry itself forward is the fact that this team has they never panic.
Yeah.
And that goes back to that Baltimore game. It goes back to, you know, Cincinnati, even the first New England game where they almost came back. Like, that's experience, that's coaching, and most teams don't have those characteristics and traits. So aside from just this week in Cleveland, I think just moving forward, that's the piece that is going to certainly help them as not only clinching, but actually improving their seeding in the playoffs and having success once the playoffs arrive.
Yeah, I think it was Bobby Babich who said, you know, no matter what hole they dig themselves into, they're able to find a way out. Now it's just a matter of not digging holes.
Yes.
Fair.
Stop allowing that to happen. And, you know, like talking to everybody on the deep, they all say it's the run. Like if you're facing a quarterback like Joe Burrow and he's making throws like he is, but you're stopping the run, it's a little bit more easy because you can blitz, pass rush, whatever it may be. But if you're getting gashed by the run like this team has too often this season, yeah, it makes it extremely difficult, and you're putting your offense in a bad spot. It is pretty incredible though the way that when they fell behind 21-0 in New England, Catherine, you didn't see Josh Allen chasing points. He was taking what the defense was giving him, which shows not only a good game plan on Joe Brady's part, but the fact that Josh Allen is just able to remain completely composed and calm in a situation where a lot of people thought that game was over. Well, Stephon Diggs and Matt Collins thought the game was over.
They certainly did. And
yeah.
Talked a little trash at that point. But no, I think, like you said, it goes back to week one. This team knows that they can be down and come back.
Yeah, no, and it's this is going to be a good test because you're facing a good pass rusher. You're going to face some of those in the playoffs, at least in the first, you know, no matter who you play, there's good ones in the league. And then you've got Philadelphia and New York Jets to finish up. So, you know, see how that goes. Before we wrap up, though, Catherine, we need to talk about Matt Prater's not kicking on Sunday.
Correct.
And neither is Ray Davis because
the dream is dead.
Yeah. Michael Badgley is the kicker the Bills signed. We'll see how that goes. I think that Sean McDermott's not going to want to be settling for field goals in a game like this. But, yeah, another one. I know there's not a lot of excitement behind it because it's not a divisional game. It's not Joe Burrow coming to Orchard Park and the Browns stink. But still, there's a lot at stake here to where the Bills, they can at least punch their ticket to the playoffs and then improve their seeding along the way.
Yeah, so it should be an interesting one for those reasons, if not on the field.
Yep, exactly. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. The injury report will be interesting to watch the coming days. You know, Myles Garrett's playing with an injury as well.
Yes.
So, and if he's not playing, then okay, we'll see how it goes.
Well, we'll have all your coverage leading up to it and from there as well. So make sure you're subscribing wherever you get your podcasts and reading along at buffalonews.com.
Treat your team to the most flavorful pizza on game day at Picasso's Pizza. Four great Western New York locations, Williamsville, West Seneca, Lancaster, and Blaisdell. Picasso's. We are Buffalo's Pizza since 1980. Order online today at picassospizza.net.